We are in 1 John, so if you have your Bibles, and if you don't have one, there should be one in the row of chairs in front of you. The version might be a little bit different. I'm using the NIV, and so I would like to invite you to turn to chapter 3, and we are going to be focusing on from verses 1 to the, let's say, to 10. We're going to focus there. So I'd like to read that, and then I will continue to make reference to some of the verses that I'll be talking about it more specifically. How great is the love? And by the way, did you notice that all the songs were centered around love? Love, 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 love. That we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. And no one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the very beginning. The reason the Son of God was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning, because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word, and we just pray in a very special way now that you'll open up our hearts, our ears, and allow your word to speak to us, and we shall give you all the praise and all the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity of sharing from 1 John chapter 3, and we talk about the greatness of God's love, or the vastness of God's love. And there is no other way to explain that when we talk about that God's love was lavished upon us, meaning that God gave His one and only Son. And the Son, by doing that, that is how His love is lavish upon us. Now, the world does not know us because they do not know the Father. Now, if they know the Father, they would recognize what they see and what they hear from us. But because they don't know Him, they don't understand. And so the challenge for us today is for us to be continued to wrapped up and tangle up and tied up in Jesus. So all that we do and all that we say and wherever we go, people see the love of God in our hearts and in our lives. Now, you know me well enough that if I see someone showing a kind gesture to somebody else, and I recognize that, then I would have the tendency, and again, you are not like me, I would have the tendency to walk up to that person and say something like, I saw what you did. And that's a kind gesture. And if the conversation continues, then I would go further and says, I recognize something else in you. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? And 99.9% they would say yes, that I am a child of God. I believe in Jesus Christ. And so you recognize that. And maybe that person will probably recognize that in you as well. And so what we need to do is that we need to continue to show that love and allow that love to grow within us daily. Now, each and every single day, we can move on from where we are at in our love for Jesus to the next step and to the next step. Until there's so much of love, we would never outlove the love that God has for us. So when you think that you have given up your all and you love him with everything that you have, you're only to realize and recognize that there is more. I want more. And Jesus saw that in John. When he looked at John, and John was the beloved disciple of Jesus, and Jesus saw that in him, and he recognized that, and so Jesus saw that John had all the love for him that he was teaching and he was talking about. Now, Jesus, just as a quick recap, Jesus is asking us to remember the privilege that we have within the Christian life. And most importantly, the privilege that we have is that we are called the children of God. Just think about it. You are a child of your parent, your father, your mother. But now our privilege is that we are called the children of God. We are bearing the name of Jesus. We are carrying the name of Jesus with us. And we are not just merely called the children of God, but we are the children of God. And that's a statement of fact, that we are the children of God. And our privilege is that as God's children and bearing his name, that we have that privilege that we are going to be closer drawn to him. And that remembering that this journey that we are in is that at the end of the road, we realize that we are going to see Jesus Christ. And because we know that, we want to do everything within our power and within of all that we understand to stay on that road until that day. We also mentioned a little bit about the fatherhood of God, which is that the fatherhood meaning that God is our father, the relationship within a son and a father grow closer and closer each day, and that is what this is all about, the fatherhood of God. And so the challenge is that we need to remember all of these things that will help us to stay on track until that day that we see Jesus Christ for ourselves. The main focus for us this morning is, in order for us to stay on track, in order for us to continue to love God and to be closer drawn to him, there are certain things we need to remember from this passage of scripture. And that is that John is encouraging us to see that the obligation we have of purity, the obligation we have of purity. And let me share that verse with you. It says, everyone, in verse 3, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. If we are in Christ, we are going to purify ourselves. And this is not a one-time deal, but this is an ongoing process as we purify ourselves. Because each day as we live, and whatever we discover that is not pleasing in the sight of God, we go to Him and we address it and we get it out of the way. So we continue to purify ourselves with God. Now, in order to strive for purity, we need to recognize certain truths about sin. And first of all, he tells us what sin is. And James says in verse 4, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. James says that in verse, sin is lawlessness. Sin is a deliberate breaking of a law which man knows very well. A deliberate breaking of the law. Sin is putting one's own desires in the place of the law of God. Or to simplify that, sin is knowing the right and doing the wrong. That's what sin is all about. And in order for us to strive for purity, we need to recognize what sin is. Because if we don't know what sin is, we wouldn't be able to move on from our state of purity to the next level. Because that sin might get hold of us and we wouldn't be able to recognize it. Secondly, he tells us what sin does. Not only what sin is, but it tells us what sin does. Sin undo the work of Christ. Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Therefore, to sin is to undo the work of Jesus Christ. And as children of God, we don't want to undo the work of Jesus Christ. Because our goal is not only to be closer drawn to God, but through our lives and our relationship with Jesus Christ, that we can lead others to Jesus Christ. We don't want to undo that process because Christ came to touch, to save the world. And so we don't want to sin to undo that process that Jesus Christ came to do. So sin, not only what sin is, but what sin does. Also, John is telling us that why sin is. And the answer is, sin comes from the failure to abide in Christ. Sin comes from the failure to abide in Christ. From disobedience, so long as we remember the continual presence of Jesus Christ, so long as we deliberately walk with Him, we will not sin. It is when we forget Christ that we do, in fact, sin. To remember the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives and with us makes sin always difficult and sometimes even impossible. So wherever we go and whatever we do, whether at work we remember that we are in the presence of Jesus Christ. If we are at play, we remember that we are in the presence of Jesus Christ. If we are on a favorite activity like a fishing or whatever, we remember that we are in the presence of Jesus Christ. If you are shopping, you remember that you are in the presence of Jesus Christ. So then what John is saying is that if we constantly remain and remember that we are in the presence of Jesus Christ, would always be difficult and sometimes impossible to sin. Because we remember the presence of Jesus Christ. Then he tells us where sin originates. He tells us where sin originates. And very simply, sin comes from the devil. Let me share verse 8. It says, he who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. Go back to the Garden of Eden. The devil has been sinning from the very beginning. Even at that time, tempting Adam and Eve. And there was the fall. The devil was always there. That's where the devil comes from. He tells us where sin originates. And it's from the devil. And we need to recognize that in order to keep ourselves pure. And then John tells us that how sin is defeated or how sin is conquered. And very simply, Jesus came to defeat, to conquer. Sin is conquered because Jesus Christ destroyed the works of the devil. And as Christians, we need to remember that is our confidence in Jesus Christ when we think about our relationship with Him and as we are constantly in His presence. We need to remember that Jesus Christ came to defeat the works of the devil. The challenge for us today is that the closer we are to Jesus Christ, the more likelihood we will be able to detect and to know that this is sinful or this is not of God. How many times have you been in a situation and you ask yourself the question, I wonder about this. I wonder if I should do this. I wonder if this is right or this is wrong. But the individual who is so close to God, and I'm not saying that those people do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. All I'm saying is that the closer we are to God, we will immediately find out that that is not right. And that's what, because of the presence of God in our hearts and in our lives. And so my challenge to you today, and so is John in his writing, is saying, each day strive to be closer drawn to God. Get closer to Him. Love Him more and more. Let Jesus say, as He said to John, or He recognized in John, I saw that love was bestowed upon you. I saw it. Have you heard from your son or your daughter that says, I love you? And the response you got was, I love you more? Let's say you say to Jesus, I love you. And Jesus said to you, I love you more. And let's say that you grow in your love, you get better in your love, in your relationship with Jesus Christ, and you said to Jesus again, I love you. And Jesus says, I love you more. And then that process continue on, you get better, and the same thing Jesus says, I love you more. As we look into our lives this morning, how much do we love Him? Where is our love with Jesus Christ? Is there room in our hearts, in our lives, that we can love Him more, that we can be closer drawn to Him? I'm sure that there is. And so as we pray today, I'd like to challenge you and to ask God for your own personal life, is that how can we be closer drawn to Him? We want to be pure. We want to stay faithful to the end because we know what is at the end. Jesus Christ, God is there. We want to stay on track and not to deviate from that journey. Heavenly Father, as we search our own hearts and lives this morning, we pray that you would help us to see ourselves as we really are in your presence. We want to love you more and more each day. And that's the only way, O God, that we will more likely recognize the things and the doctrines. And your word says that we should be careful not to be led astray. And because of our relationship with you, we will be able to recognize, and we will be able to know in our hearts what is right and what is wrong. Bless our people this morning. Lord, you hear their prayers. You know what they are talking to you about. And we speak favor on their behalf. Thank you again. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.